Through the truth, as we are in the book of Leviticus, and we want to continue our talking about the seven feasts of Israel, the new calendar that God gave the nation in Leviticus chapter 23. Now, we've talked about the Passover, Jesus, the redeeming one. We've talked about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we saw Jesus, the righteous one. We talked about the Feast of First Fruits and Jesus, the resurrected one. And we talked about the Feast of Pentecost last Wednesday night. And tonight we're going to follow on in verses 23 and 25. And we're going to talk about the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. Jesus in the Feast of Pentecost was the reviving one. We found that the number 50 applies to the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And it was at the beginning of that harvest season. And 4 months later would come the next feast at the closing of the harvest season, known as the Feast of Trumpets. We just have a few short verses here. Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." And so we can see there where that this feast gets its title as being the Feast of Trumpets. He said that it was going to be a memorial of blowing trumpets. When you see that word memorial, you might parallel it with our expression, holidays, our holy days. They are times of remembrance and service. Now, tonight we're going to find, as we take our lives and reflect upon the Feast of Trumpets to apply those things to our lives, that it's going to portray for us the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming in the rapture of the church. And so, we're going to talk for just a few minutes tonight about the Feast of Trumpets, these trumpets, if you will. Y'all come on in. The Feast of Trumpets. Well, first of all, let's consider what the Bible says about the time of the feast. Verse 24 tells us that it is the seventh month, the first day of the month. Now, that tells us that this was 4 months after the Feast of Pentecost. Now, you've had to have noticed thus far how important the number 7 is when it comes to God's calendar. The Feast of Unleavened Bread lasted 7 days. The seventh day was a Sabbath. We find that there were 7 groups of sevens from the Feast of First Fruits to the Feast of Pentecost the next day after that series of sevens. And we find now that we're in the seventh month. Well, 7 is God's perfect number of order and completion. And so as the harvest season closed for the children of Israel, this festival, if you will, was ordained in preparation. Now we're going to find, we've studied 4 feasts already. There remains 3. And those 3 we find in this seventh month. Now, you have to be aware that their months don't parallel our months. This falls around September or October. Sometimes those days overlap there. Because the children of Israel had not only one calendar, but they had 2. They had a religious calendar and they had a secular calendar, a civil calendar. We find the religious calendar is instituted in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, where God said this month, the month of Nisan, or Abib, shall be the first month for you. Now, he's talking there about the religious calendar, if you will, for their year. And that begins around this time of year, believe it or not. Look on your calendar, find where Passover falls. That will tell you that 14th day of their first month is right there. That is how their religious calendar began. But right here we find, at the Feast of Trumpets, the beginning of the civil year for the children of Israel. When we come to that time of year in fall, you're going to hear on the news about Rosh Hashanah. That literally is what this word is. It literally means the new year, or a time of a new beginning for them. And so, it was a time that was a holy convocation. Now, think about it. When we think about New Year's, we think about people having parties. We think about all kind of jubilation and things happening. And sad to say, too much reveling and drunkenness about it. It wasn't that way with the children of Israel. Literally, the Feast of Trumpets was a preparation for the next two feasts that were ordained, that of Atonement and of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a solemn occasion, or rather it was occasion not of an outward action and attention, but it was that of an inward focus upon the individual. Well, sometimes we do that even in our New Year, because we'll begin the first day or that evening before with what we call New Year's resolutions, will we not? We'll reflect upon our lives and we'll look at what we've done and maybe what we hadn't done that we intended to do. And there we'll make these resolutions and say, I tell you what, this coming year I'm going to do this, I'm going to do thus, and we seldom ever do it, do we? Amen. And so this was Rosh Hashanah, or the beginning of the Jewish civil new year. Therefore we find that it was a time of a new beginning. We find all through the Bible that God is the God of new beginnings. I'll tell you, God's never late. God's never too late for anything. There's always hope with God and opportunity over and over again for new beginnings, starting again. God help us to do better in the coming year than we did in the past year, amen, as we reflect on that past. But it was not only a time of renewal, but also that time of review. Now, the Bible here calls this Feast of Trumpets a memorial. A memorial. Now, anytime you think of a memorial, what do you think about? You think about something that has happened in the past, and this day or this event that is an occasion for you to remember what happened back then. Amen. Well, that's a pretty good definition of a memorial. But in the Bible sense, and especially in this festival here, a memorial is not referred to, and it's certainly not reflected in the Word, simply as an event that took place in the past, but also it's a remembering of something past that is yet active in your life. In other words, it's not something that's over and done with, but it's something that began at a point in time in your life, in the past, or their existence, but it still has application and is active in the present life. Well, that's kind of like the Feast of Passover was it not? They look back to the time down in Egypt whenever God saved the firstborn on the night of that plague of death, and they remember that God delivered them from the land of Egypt. But not only do they remember that God delivered them, but Passover also reminded them that God still delivers them. It's not something that's done that's over with, amen, and doesn't have application now in our life, but it still has application, amen. And so that's what we should think of whenever we think of these festivals, if you will, as a memorial. And so it's a time for review. Neighbor, I want to tell you, when God saved you, God began a work in you, amen. It happened at a certain point in history. It was an historical event, but it was just the beginning, amen. It didn't stop there. It didn't cease to be, but that which was past still is present active in my life right now, amen. And so he said that this is to be a memorial. Well, now, I got to thinking, well, what is it a memorial of? What is the Feast of Trumpets when they blow those trumpets, if it's a memorial, something they ought to remember that's still functioning in their lives, what was it? Baffling. Very baffling. So, you know, I did the only thing I knew to do. I went back in their history. It had to be something that happened in the past. I went back to where the trumpet first occurred in their life. You know where it was? At Mount Sinai. Go back in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. In Exodus, chapter 20, the Lord God is speaking from Mount Sinai. He is establishing his covenant with the nation of Israel based upon his moral law in a covenant. And there he gives the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. and the first 17 verses. But now listen what the Bible says in verse 18 and 19 of Exodus 20. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now listen. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now I can understand God upon the mountain, and there being thunderings and lightnings and rumbling with His holy presence and His omnipotent power. But where did the trumpets come from? What was the significance of the trumpets? And you know what you find out through the Word of God? You always find associated with the trumpets God saying something, God speaking. And so this, no doubt, was a memorial for them to go back and remember that God established a covenant with them, and God gave them literally His Word. And you could go back even further to creation itself and recognize Him as the Creator in the dawn of time in our existence. Amen. For the Bible says, and God said, and it was so, and it was good. Amen. And so this memorial, no doubt, in the nation of Israel as one of their holy days, reflected back to the time that God spoke. Now you'll find a parallel passage in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 12. It's talking about that same time in the experience of the nation of Israel. And listen to it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 18. He says, he's comparing grace and law here. Here's what he says in 12:18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Now listen to verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And so what's he doing? He's reminding them of the awesomeness of the presence of God and the time that he gave unto them his word in the covenant that he made with the nation of Israel and the sound of the trumpet that was associated with it. Amen. And so I just believe that it was a memorial unto them of that covenant at Sinai and the giving of the word of God. And so it ought to be representative in our lives, and we can see it associated in the New Testament, and we'll get to that in just a minute. So we find the time of trumpets was simply this. It was a time of renewal. It was a time of review. It was a time of rest. The Bible said there in Leviticus chapter 23 that it was to be what? A Sabbath. In verse number 24, he said, ye shall have... shall ye have a Sabbath. Now what does Sabbath always imply? It always implies one thing. It implies rest. And that's what it means. He goes on and says, ye shall do no servile work therein. No making money. No working for a living. No laboring, amen. It is a time of rest. That tells you that it was made for man, amen. It was made for man. Brother A.W. that was here this morning, we didn't anticipate seeing him for several years. They had a missions conference in Jacksonville that all of the missionaries went to, and the mission director that's over the whole organization gave them a week that wouldn't be pulled off their furlough. So what they got was a time of rest and vacation that they didn't plan on, amen. And so through the year they had the seventh day, which was always the Sabbath, and God gave them these Sabbaths, amen, and for a purpose. And we'll deal with that a little bit later. So there was nothing going on. It was a holiday, a time of rest. Not only was it a time of rest, but it was a time of rejoicing. Why? It was the end of harvest. The close of the latter harvest was coming to an end. Therefore, neighbor, it was a time as this year began for them that they could look back and see how that God had blessed them so bountifully with all of the grain that they'd placed in their barns and all the wonderful things that God had blessed them with physically, recognizing Him as that which He always is, the wonderful bless her. Amen. And so, in that first day of the seventh month, they would blow these trumpets. And so, let's deal with that blowing of trumpets, if you will, the testimonial of the trumpets. Well, the Bible tells us that the trumpets were blown on three occasions. There were three occasions, other than this holiday, that the trumpets were blown. Number one, they were blown for times of worship. We find in the Bible that the trumpets were to be blown on the new month, the new moons, which always fell at the first of the month, and that they fell on all, they were blown on all of these feast days or holy days. Now, if you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Numbers, the next book in the Bible, chapter number 10, and just keep your finger there or mark it, we're going to deal with a few things there in Numbers chapter 10 that talk about these trumpets. Numbers chapter 10 and verse number 10 tells us about this. He said, "Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord." So what's he saying there? He's saying that these trumpets were to be blown on times of worship, when the people were to be gathered in order to worship the Lord. Now listen, you've got to understand something. And if you don't get this, a lot of things in the Bible are going to become confusing to you. The Sabbath day is ordained by God and given to man was not given as a day of worship. Now, the custom became later that the Jew would go to the synagogue. Synagogue was a place of worship outside or away from the temple. Amen. In Jerusalem, they had the temple, but in Capernaum, they would have a synagogue. In Galilee and all in different cities, there would always be a synagogue where they would go on the Sabbath, and they would hear the Word read, the Torah read. And so that became a custom later, but God gave the Sabbath to the children of Israel for a rest day. Every seventh day was to be a day of no work, of rest. However, when did they worship God? They worshiped God on the new moons, and they worshiped God on these feast days. Now, I'm telling you, if you every time you see the word Sabbath in the Bible, you think seventh day, you're going to be confused, because there were many, many more Sabbaths or days of no rest than the seventh day. The seventh day was ordained strictly as a day of rest, but the feast days and the new moons were indeed days of worship. And so the trumpet was blown at the new moons and on these feast days, these holy days, because they were times of worship. Amen. Now, if it's indeed true that the typology holds that the thing that's always accompanying the trumpets is the Word of God, then it tells us, amen, that the Word of God is the very basis of our worship whereby we worship. Amen. Amen. And so they were blown at the time of worship. They also were blown at times of war. Think about Jericho. Amen. They marched around Jericho, and that final time, God said to blow the trumpets. Amen. Blow those trumpets. And we find through the Bible, you just take your concordance and look up trumpets in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Judges. You see it a whole lot, how that it is associated with the day of battle. As a matter of fact, in Numbers chapter 10 here and verse number 9, it tells us about that. "And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies." Amen. So those trumpets were associated with times of worship, and they were associated with times of war. That's what he means when he talks about sounding an alarm. They had certain blasts, one for the gathering of the heads of the tribes, and they had other blasts that signified that this was no party, but this was a time of war, a time of battle. And so when they go into battle, in the experience of Gideon and other ones, there are trumpets that are implied there and that are used. And so in times of battle, amen, we need trumpet blowing. Now the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. So you and I can't fight the devil, and we can't fight spiritual battles with carnal means or carnal weapons, amen. Only one way to fight it, and that's with the Word of God. Word of God, the voice of God is always associated with the trumpet and accompanied it, amen. So I'll tell you, when it comes to time of battle, when it comes to time of tearing down strongholds, there's only one weapon that we can use, amen, in that day, and that is the Word of God. And so the trumpet was blown, and times of worship, and times of war, and what I call times of witness, our time of walking, times of marching. Look in Numbers 10, if you will, verses number 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. You read on further, it talks about the blast for assembly and for calling of the heads and for the marching of the individual tribes that are giving there. And so the trumpets were blasted, amen, for gathering the people together, for walking, for marching, for witness, literally, amen, in traveling together. One of the things that we see reflected in the experience of the enemies of Israel as they went was the fact that as they marched across that desert, amen, they weren't invisible. People saw them. People saw the glory of God overshadowing them, and it struck fear in their hearts. So I want to tell you, amen, there comes a time of witness, a time of walking, amen. And there's only one way we can walk with God, and that's to agree with Him. The Bible says that. Can two walk together except they be agreed? There's only one way, neighbor, we can fight a battle for God. There's only one way we can be a witness for God. You know how that is? Through and with the precious Word of God, always associated with those trumpets that are blowing, amen. So you know what we might say? We might say that the trumpets are literally the herald of preaching the Word of God. God has chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, amen, and amen. And those trumpets sound the herald and the blast of this world. I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God, you may not be preaching with your lips, but you're preaching with your life, amen. And it ought to reflect what the sound of the trumpet reflects, amen. And that is the Word of God. Now, get your fingers a little loose here. Let's move on into the New Testament and the truth of the trumpets and what it means to you and I today. Well, the trumpets serve for several things. It did in their experience, and it does in our experience. First of all, the trumpets serve to awaken. In other words, to get somebody's attention. Now, you see, the children of Israel might be out there in the field working, are somewhere else separated. But when they heard a certain sound on the trumpet, then they knew exactly what the circumstance was and what was happening. Amen. And so literally, they were to get attention. They were to awaken people. Amen. Well, now, if you had a silver trumpet like these mounted on the top of your alarm clock, you wouldn't have any trouble getting up in the morning, neighbor. Those things would wake you up. And so the sound was clear. The sound was definite, and it did its job of wakening the people to a specific circumstance. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible talks about us. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, it talks about how we ought to be carrying ourselves in these days. Romans 13 and verse number 11. Listen to what Paul says. It must have been a reason he said this. He saw this reflected in some folks. Romans 13, verse 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What is he saying here? He is saying, listen, the trumpet is sounding. The trumpet is a-blowing to wake people up out of their sleep and to get their attention. Why? Because something is going to happen. Amen. Something's coming. And lest you be rocked to sleep, lest you lose your vigil, lest you be drawn aside by other attractions and activities. The trumpet has to sound to bring us back to the place we ought to be, to get our attention, to remind us of something, that there is an event that is yet future that the Bible talks about, and it is the coming of the Lord. It's our salvation. The trumpet is associated with the words of the Lord, and the trumpets are associated with the coming of the Lord. And so, the trumpet served for them, and it should for you and I, this word of God, as the trumpet sounds, to awaken us out of our sleep. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. The Apostle Paul says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Now that tells me something. We're not all going to sleep, but some of us are. Isn't that right? So what about them that sleep? We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now when? At the last trump. That's another way of saying trumpet. You might say it's singular. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now what's he talking about here? That there are some people who are asleep. Now remember, the Bible, the New Testament especially, never refers to a child of God as being dead. It always refers to a child of God who's been saved by the grace of God, been made part of the family of God, as being asleep. He's not dead, amen. It's not that he doesn't have life, amen. His body is sleeping in the earth, but he's alive in the presence of the Lord. And he says, I want to tell you something. I want you to understand something, that we're not all going to sleep, but them that are asleep, they're going to be woke up. Amen. Now listen, those dearly departed are not laying out there in the graveyard. Their bodies are, but they're not there. They dwelt in those houses once. Now they've moved on somewhere else to be in the presence of the Lord. And neighbor, they don't have a house to live in, bless your heart. But one of these days when the Lord returns with those saints that Jude talked about and Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians 4, what's going to happen? He said right there, a trumpet is going to sound. And the Bible said that every man, woman that hadn't died are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And those that sleep in the earth are going to come out of them graves. Amen. God's going to take the same dust that dwells in the earth that my body deteriorates into, from whence it was created in Adam. Amen. He's going to put those particles of dust back together without sin. Give me a perfect, glorified body. And so a trumpet, neighbor, serve to awaken. Get their attention, amen. You used to hear it on the CB base years ago. I'm not sure you still hear it anymore like that. But not only did it serve to awaken, to get attention, but it served also to announce something, to say something, if you will. What the trumpet said was simply this. Hear ye, the king has something to say. So it gets your attention. In old times, before we had PA systems, before we had ways of communication, the town crier would walk out to the middle of the town square, and he would cry out, "Hear ye, hear ye." Well, the children of Israel blow the trumpet, amen. It worked just as well, amen, if not a whole lot better whenever they would blow on those trumpets, and it got their attention, amen. Why? Because it was a time when the word of the king was going out. It was a time that a message was going out. And that's the way it's associated in the Bible. Now look in the book of Revelation chapter 1. I want you to see this. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 10. The apostle John is in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and look what happens. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Huh? Well, now, just who was it that was making this sound of a trumpet whenever he spake? And here's what he said in verse 11. It's given, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And the apostle began to see the one who was speaking unto him. And who was it? It was the resurrected Lord Himself, amen. Our glorified Lord, we might say. And so we find that this trumpet is associated with the voice of the Lord in making an announcement. I mean, the Lord's coming to John, not just simply to visit him, to see if everything is all right, to see if he's doing fairly well, if you will, but he's coming to make an announcement on him. And what is that? It's this: I've got a job for you, old boy. I've got something for you to do. I've got a message for you, and I want you to write it in letters and send it to the seven churches in Asia. Amen? That's what it is. And so in the book of Revelation, we begin to see these announcements made from the Word of God pertaining to the message of God and things that are going to happen upon the earth. Look in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. After this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Two announcements we see here already with the blowing or the sound of this trumpet in the ears of the Apostle John. The first one is the announcement that I'm going to show you some things that which are happening and are going to happen. I want you to write these things that are happening in these letters to the seven churches which are in Asia. And then after he does that, at the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4, verse 1, the trumpet sounds again in the voice and the words of the Lord, and he makes another announcement, amen. He tells him to come up hither, and I will show you things that are going to be hereafter, things which are going to come. Two announcements. Now, his environment has changed, amen, from the previous announcement. He says, come up hither. And so, neighbor, some way, somehow, he has gone up into the position that God wants him to be in, to be able to see the things that he was going to write in this book, amen, that we might be able to understand the things that God was showing the Apostle John. And they were associated with the sounding of that trumpet and the delivery of the Word of God in announcement form. Now, flip over to Revelation chapter number 8. Revelation chapter number 8 and verse number 1. And when he had opened, he's talking about an angel there, the seventh seal, there, he's talking about the Lord Jesus. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now jump down to verse number 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now the book of Revelation unfolds this way. You find, first of all, seven seals on the scroll. You find the seven trumpets that come out of the seventh seal. And then you find the seven vials or bowls of the wrath of God that come out of the seventh trumpet sound that is made. The opening of the seven seals has to do with the authority of the one that's doing the announcing. Seals were things that were made of wax that were put on scrolled messages by kings, and their insignia was impressed into that wax, and nobody was to violate the seal upon that scroll. So this scroll was presented, and John saw it, and these are the words that he said, Who is worthy to open the scroll? What was he saying? He wasn't talking about a worthiness, even though the Lord Jesus had that, but who has the authority or the power to open this scroll? What was this scroll? You know, and I'm not going to stay on this. I've thought about that a lot. I've heard a lot of things. What is the title deed to earth and different things like that. But you know, there's only one place in the Bible where I can ever remember a seal being scrolling, a scroll being sealed. You know where that was? The end of the book of Daniel. He says, seal it up, for it ain't for now, it's for the last days. And you know, anybody who's a Bible student knows that the book of Revelation takes up right there where the book of Daniel leaves off. Amen. And so you know what? There's only one who has the authority to declare the word of God, and that's God. Amen. And so we find that the seals represent the authority of God, and these trumpets, if you will, represent the announcing power of the Word of God. For what he's doing here with the sounding of these trumpets is announcing things that are going to come to pass upon the earth that he sees. And so every time one is sounded, the announcement is made of what is happening. And he writes it down in the book. Amen. And so we find those things here. Just read them. You know, some of these things are very relevant. You know what I've seen here lately advertised so much and so much on TV? We've seen things dealing with volcanoes. He said, I saw burning mountains fell into the sea. We've seen movies about asteroids and comets hitting the earth. He said, I saw a star fall from heaven. His name was Wormwood. Fell into the sea. Amen. And all kinds of the ships were destroyed, things in the sea. What a horrible time, amen. Maybe there's more fiction, more fact in their fiction than they think, amen. More reality to it. Surely, amen, there is. And so what these trumpets are doing, they are announcing the word of God with reference to God's judgment upon this earth. Amen. And so you remember why the trumpet was blown in Israel, for worship and for war. This is going to be a period in time whenever God's going to be at war with man. And God is going to let fly the time of wrath and of tribulation like this world has never, ever experienced before. Nay, Jesus said they never, ever would experience it again. And so the trumpet served to awaken, and it has served to announce. But then it also serves to alarm, if you will. You know, we want good, comfortable services today where nobody gets rattled, nobody gets shook, and everything is comfortable and everything is nice. But I want to tell you what our responsibility is, not only as pastors and preachers and teachers, but as Christians in this world. And that is to sound an alarm in this world, to sound a warning to this world that there's a holy God in heaven, a righteous God, that if you're not prepared to meet in the day of judgment, neighbor, you will be cast into hell forever and ever, and that God is coming before too long. And so that's part of our purpose. Now, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 was at Ephesus and was fixing to depart, and they knew that they would never see him again. Listen to what he said, Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock of God, which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Now, what are you going to feed them with? Now, we ate some kind of good last night, but it wasn't this. It was the physical. Now, thank God for the bounty and the blessing, but that ain't what we're about. We do that as a result of this, and not this as a result of that. We don't use that to get people to come into our church, amen. They come by the word. Those are things that are associated with our fellowship together. He said, listen, feed the flock of God. What? The word of God, which is associated with what in the scripture? The trumpet. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine the seriousness of the Apostle Paul? How that he approached the ministry that God had given him, and how he felt so compelled to be guardian of the churches that he established in his missionary journeys. When he said, I cease not to warn you day and night. Neighbor, I want to tell you, the world may change its form of religion. The world may change its attitudes about everything. But our attitude as a child of God in association with the trumpets that we're studying tonight should not cease to warn this world that, neighbor, the government may say something's all right. The religious leaders may say it's all right. But God said it's not all right. Amen. And I'll tell you that there's a judgment coming upon the world as a result of rejecting the word of God and not heeding the trumpet blast in warning of that coming. Amen. And so, neighbor, I want to tell you, our commission as children of God is to warn this world and to sound the trumpet. Now look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see, was that where it was? That wasn't 1. Let me find it here. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. Listen to what he said. Now remember, the church at Corinth, if I was to build a work, I would never name it Corinth. There would never be a Corinth church. This thing had so many problems, I mean, from the very get-go. And he's writing here, and you know what? He's having to rebuke these people. I mean, he's always having to rebuke them. But listen to what he said in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 4:14, I write not these things to shame you. I'm not trying to defeat you or to cause you an open shame, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. I warn you. I warn you. Well, preacher, I won't tell you, I just do not like that. Well, I don't preach the things that I preach to put you down or to shame you. I ought to warn you. Neighbor, I don't have any judgment. Not none whatsoever. I have no judgment of an individual, and I cannot execute judgment. Amen. That's been given unto the Son of Man because He's experienced everything that you and I have done. Therefore, He can that we've experienced. Therefore, He can execute a righteous judgment. Amen. I don't have that, but I warn you, there's somebody else that does. Amen. Amen. You might be able to mistreat somebody. You might be able to do something wrong, and you might think that you're getting away with it because wormwood hadn't fell in your basket yet. But I want to tell you something, and I warn you, as He warned them. He said, I'm not trying to put you to shame, but He said, I'm warning you, God will judge you for this. He said this, He said that he that destroyeth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. And so you can have one or two reactions. Well, you know, I don't know if that's so. I'm not really God's that way. Amen. I want to tell you something. He said, it is our commission. And He said, because I love you, He said, I am warning you. Now turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to pull it together here in a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Do you see that? What's somebody who's unruly? Well, let me ask you this. What's a rule? What is rule? It is a guideline for behavior. That's what it is. And if you violate that guideline of behavior, then you are unruly. Really. Isn't that what he's saying? And so what he's saying here is you need to warn those people that there's a price to pay for unruly behavior in the life of a child of God. Amen. I mean, you know, we've been saved by grace, and Paul said that all things are lawful unto me, but he said not all things are expedient, good for me. And so there's a price to pay for illegitimate behavior in the life of the child of God. And so part, one of the functions of the trumpet was to alarm or to warn. And now let's get the scriptural confirmation of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 8. Here it is. Who was he talking to a minute ago? He was talking to the church at Corinth, right? We read in chapter 4, verse 14. Listen what it says. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Huh? Amen? Now what's he talking about there? If an alarm is sounded but nobody can understand it, then it's not going to benefit them any bit whenever the battle begins. So he's relating it there to speaking in unknown tongues. And he's saying, if a man can't understand what you're saying, it's not going to benefit him any bit. It's not going to cause him to prepare for the battle. That's what he's saying. And so there he compares this sounding, this alarm, this warning to what? Trumpet. It is always associated with the word of God, an announcement, an alarm, an assembly. Amen. We see the trumpet associated with the assembling or the gathering of God's people. And so in the Bible, we see the trumpet associated with what we call the rapture of the church. Amen. Passover, we saw Jesus the redeeming one. For unleavened bread, Jesus the righteous one. First fruits, Jesus the resurrected one. The feast of Pentecost, Jesus the reviving one. And in the Feast of Trumpets, Jesus, the rapturing one. And it's associated with those trumpets. Look, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, he begins to talk there about that man of sin, that wicked one. And he says this, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, what did he say? He said, there's coming a gathering of God's people unto him. Isn't that pretty plain? I mean, most all of us can understand that, can't we? So what he says, there's going to come a day of gathering. Well, now in the Old Testament, with reflection of what we're talking about now, what was associated with the gathering of God's people? The trumpet was. All right, we'll turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He talks about the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13. And I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, look, by the word of the Lord. This is not Josephus' theology. This is not Pauline religion. He said, I got this from God, from his word, from him speaking to me. Listen to what he said. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now look, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so the trump also represents or served to gather the people together. Amen. Are to assemble the people. We found that on the holy days, on the new moons. When the trumpet sounded, it sounded for the purpose of gathering the people together in preparation for a coming event. Amen. That's what trumpets is here. It's really in preparation for atonement and for the Feast of Tabernacles. Neighbor, that's what it is here. I want to tell you something. One of these days, the Lord himself is going to ascend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and that trump of God will sound, and neighbor, to assemble God's people together. Those that have gone on will come out of the earth. Those that are alive and remain will be changed and caught up together with the Lord. That's what he said there. And neighbor, it's for a purpose. It's because something's fixing to happen upon the face of this earth. Amen. He's assembling us in lieu of an event. It's fixing to happen. And what's that? It's the wrath and the judgment of God upon a Christ godless rejecting world here. Amen. And there's no purpose for us to go through that. Thank God. Amen. And so the trumpet is associated with the assembly of God's people at the rapture. But then it's also associated with the assembly of God's people at his return. Now remember, when the Lord Jesus comes the first time, the Bible says he's coming in the clouds. But whenever he returns from fully to the earth, it will be 7 years later when his feet shall touch the Mount of Olives. Now, what will happen at that time? To find that, go back in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter number 24. This is the great Olivet Discourse. We talked this morning about the Passion Week when Jesus rode in on Palm Sunday and the people welcomed him. When he went and sat down in the temple and watched what was going on there, the people just flittered away. And when he left, he taught his disciples. That's when he said, look at all these stones. There's not a one that's going to remain on top of the other. And he gave that great prophetic chapter that tells us what's going to happen in the future, especially with reference to the nation of Israel. Now listen to what he talks about at his coming. Matthew 24 and verse number 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, or the end of those 7 years, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so there is a gathering associated with the trumpet. When he comes in the clouds, there's a gathering associated with his return to this earth, and the sound and the blast of the trumpet. And so we can see the typology is perfect and complete. That which happened literally in the experience of the children of Israel will happen also literally in the experience of the life of the child of God. Amen. I want to tell you, the trumpet's going to sound because the Bible said that it would. Amen. There's a time when God's going to gather His people together. If you're not a part of His people, if you're not a part of His body, a part of His family, the neighbor, you're going to be left behind. You're going to be left behind. And it's going to be too late then to change your mind. Say, oh, I want to, I wanted to, I meant to, I intended to. No, it'll be too late. Why? That trumpet has already sounded. Now, you know what? Until that happens, we're not to go out and sit on the side of a mountain and wait for the sound of that trumpet, nor to predict even when that trumpet's going to sound. But until it sounds, we're to be sounding the trumpet. Why? For we found that the trumpet was always associated with the Word of God. It is a sound from us in warning to this world that there's a God in heaven and He's going to judge this world for its rejection of His Son. Amen. Now, look at it this way. Here's the prophetic calendar in God's calendar of their year. Feast of Pentecost, in the beginning of that harvest, was 4 months before the trumpet sounded. All that period of time was a time of what? It was a time of harvest. So the space between Pentecost, which happened on the day of Acts when the church was born and the Holy Spirit came and occupied that body, until the sound of the trumpet, which hadn't happened yet, that must mean that we're living somewhere in that period of time. Therefore, we're living in the time of harvest. Jesus said in John 4 to His disciples when they went to town to get food, after talking to that woman there at the well, that Samaritan woman, He said, say not it is 4 months until harvest. But He said, look upon the fields already. They're already white unto harvest. So you see, this is what we do. We don't, you know, we're not in charge or control of God's timetable. And I can't tell you about that trumpet that's going to sound, when it's going to sound. And I certainly don't have the power, authority to sound it. But I can tell you this, where we're at. We're living in the time when God said we are to be reaping the harvest. We are to be sounding the trumpet, amen, of the warning that there is coming a day when God's going to sound His trumpet, amen, and judge this whole world. And you know something? It's getting harder and harder and harder to harvest in this world. Amen. We're living in a time when we want and we need more and more to satisfy us. And you know, there's only one way that that can be done. We have to change the implements by which we harvest. Isn't that right? I mean, we can harvest a whole lot more crops and grain and things with new modern tractors and combines and implements like never before than the little old farmer with his little Jenny mule that used to have to work in the field. Isn't that right? In order to keep up with the demand, we had to change the implements. Well, that's what we're trying to do in the church today, amen. We, in order to supposedly get a bigger harvest, we're changing the implements, amen. And we left the little old simple trumpet that God gave us. This is my trumpet. This is your trumpet, amen. We are to sound it in this world, and as a result of that trumpet, amen, the harvest will be ripe and it will be real. And we'll be bringing wheat, neighbor, into the barn and not chaff. Amen. Father, bless your word now. Thank you, our God, for the revelations of the trumpets in the word of the Lord. May we, our Father, take it to heart and realize that, God, we're living in a time of harvest, a time when, our Father, we're to be preaching the Word of God, sowing the seed while somebody waters, and, God, you bring the increase to it. We're to be doing the reaping, O God. During that time, we're to be sounding the alarm that there's going to come a day when God is going to say that work is over and that the judgment of a holy God is going to begin to fall upon a Christ-rejecting world. God, will you help us to be faithful in doing that? God, not to compromise the issues, nor the word, but yet, our Father, to blow our trumpet with a distinct and a clear sound that thus saith the Lord. That our Father, just as the sound of the trumpet and the lightnings and the thunderings rumbled and sounded and frightened the people at the base of that mountain at Sinai, so our Father, might the going forth of the Word of God as it's trumpeted from every pulpit and from every child of God, might it, our Father, be a warning, and might it, Father, strike fear in a sin-sick world of a holy God who gave His only begotten Son, that we might be spared and we might be saved. Thank you, God, for warning me before I went to hell. Thank you, God, for saving me through the wonderful blast of the trumpet, getting my attention, and Father, redeeming me. Oh, how can we ever cease to thank you and praise you for your wonderful grace and mercy? Use us now, our Father, to be that sounding trumpet in this dark and noisome world. And Father, redeem who you will. For it's your word, and we're your people. And what you do with us, we'll thank you, and God will praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.